This is part B of The Mystery of Lawlessness is Already Working. Now we're back here in 2 Timothy 3. Let's continue on in verse 3. Implacable. That means you can't reason and deal with them. They're adamant. That describes all of these radical movements that move in and take over. Implacable. That describes the homosexual movement enforcing so-called gay, which is not. It's anything but gay, marriage, etc. Slanderers. So if you believe in the truth or they don't like you, they're going to slander you in the press, slander you on television, slander you in every way that they can. Without self-control, and that's what we have, rampant. People can't control themselves. They're addicted to drugs. They're addicted to television. They're addicted to gambling. They're addicted to pornography. They are addicted to whatever else their addictions are. Savage. You just wait and see when it's going to happen. It's going to be that way. Now, this is not the talk show host, Michael Savage. See, this is savage in their behavior. And look at what they're doing to each other. Killings. Destroying. Despisers of those who are good. That's where we sit. Hated. Like we read in Matthew 24. Betrayers. Reckless. Egotistical. That's another word for narcissistic. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That is sure true. Far more people go to watch sports on Sunday than go to church, without a doubt. And one way to get people hooked on doing things is to get them hooked on sports and following their team and buying all the paraphernalia and all of this sort of thing, you see. Now, here's the irony of it. They say, well, we're good Christian people. Nearly 90% of people say they believe in God. Notice what he says here, verse 5. Having an outward appearance of godliness. And that's why God hates religion. But denying the power of true godliness. They won't keep the commandments of God. They will laugh in your face. And just go on doing what they want to do. But here's what Paul told Timothy. But as for you, turn away from all of these. Don't get involved in any of that. And always remember this. None of these things that are listed here in 2 Timothy 3 that we have covered or the other things that we've covered up to this point, remember this for sure. You cannot solve spiritual problems with political means or religious band-aids. You must have the truth. There must be repentance. Because when God says, come out of her, my people, he is commanding them to repent. Repent of their sins. So we might all ask ourselves, what are our sins? Are we involved in this? Now, especially those who may be hearing some of these things for the very first time. What is your life like? How have you turned your back on God? How have you gone down the road of self-indulgence and narcissism and serving your own self and your own pleasures? What are you going to do about it? God commands you to repent. Verse 6, for from men such as these come those who are worming their way into houses and are gaining control over empty-headed, gullible women, given over to various sins, being driven by all kinds of lust. And that certainly describes the behavior of a great number of people today. Now notice, verse 7, They're always learning, but are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they reject God and reject His way. That's why. That's where these things come from. Now, let's look at some things on how these come about. What happens to the whole society? Let's come back here to Isaiah, the first chapter. And let's see a description of this nation today. Isaiah, the first chapter. That's why it's not going to be repaired by a new president, though he may be conservative, because he's still of this world. Isaiah, the first chapter. You see, the only solution is the kingdom of God. The only solution begins with you changing your life and repenting, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. That is the only solution, and it must begin on an individual, personal basis. It's not going to come about from any movement. It's not going to come about from being religious. It's not going to come from any Sunday-keeping church. Those are only band-aids. You need to get right with God yourself, because here is what God says this nation is. And a little later I'll read you to where we are going. Verse 2, chapter 1. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Now when it says the Lord has spoken, that you better know that means business. And he calls the heavens as witness. And also remember this. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall perish, but my word shall not perish. And these are the words that he gave Isaiah before he became Jesus Christ in the flesh, because he was Lord God of the Old Testament. For the Lord has spoken, I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me by refusing the commandments of God. And that rebellion takes place every Sunday in every church, everywhere in the world, because to keep Sunday is to keep a lie. And your pastors preach lies to you by saying that, oh, now we have the first day of the week. Lie. Now, if you don't believe that, read Rome's challenge to the Protestants, because the ones who instituted in the so-called Christian church 325 years after Christ by a pagan Roman emperor, Constantine, the institution of Sunday worship upon Christians. Has nothing to do with God, not from God, never has been of God. You read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and there is not one scripture which gives the allowance or the enforcement of the first day of the week. Everywhere it enforces the Sabbath. You need to understand that. This is not time for patty cake, nicey nice, be good. This is time of repentance to receive true good from God with His Spirit. Now he says, we are so dumb and stupid and self-centered that, verse 3, the ox knows its owner and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know me. My people do not understand, and yet God says, I created them. Isn't that amazing? So he says, verse 4, ah, sinful nation. People burdened with iniquity, and iniquity is another word for lawlessness. Think of every problem that we have in any country, anywhere in the world. You can focus on wherever you are, and every problem and every ill and everything comes from breaking the commandments of God, and that goes right to the heart and core of other religions rejecting the truth of the Bible, and Christianity rejecting God itself by saying the commandments of God have been abolished, when Jesus said, don't even think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish. a seed of evildoers, children who have dealt corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. And that, you know, there's a perversity in human nature, which is this. Let us sin so the grace may abound, and let us sin, and God bless us in our sins. No. Sin brings penalty. Sin brings curses. Obedience brings blessing. And probably are not... Not very many people could recite by heart the Ten Commandments out of Exodus 20. And that should be burned into your mind, because that will give you a greater moral compass than all the teachings and philosophies you could be involved in and spending 12 years at postgraduate education in some of these mind-altering institutions called universities. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? Now here's the description of our country. And you think of it. From the lowest person that is a bum in the streets or homeless, to the President of the United States in the White House, to the governors of all the 50 states, to all the legislators, large and small, city mayors, city councilors, all of those who belong to various boards and everything, all the schools from top to bottom, great or small, from the sole of the foot even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it. It's all coming apart, isn't it? And furthermore, every solution makes it worse, doesn't it? Why? Because they're all headed in the wrong direction. They're not repenting to God. Now you need to think about that. No soundness in it. Only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been clothed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Your country is a desolation and becoming more and more desolate, and you wait and see. As it says in Deuteronomy 28, the enemy is going to rule over us. And it's at the door. Your cities are burned with fire. That will happen. Strangers devour your land right in your very presence, because they hold the mortgages to your land and to your homes. And they will come and claim them sooner or later. And it is wasted and overthrown as strangers. Not quite yet, but on its way. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, like a hut in a garden of cucumbers, like a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. Now we need to stop here. There is a small remnant of people who love God, who keep his commandments, who believe in salvation by grace, who are striving to change and grow and overcome. But there's another thing that's important that they are doing. They are preparing to develop godly character, so when Jesus Christ returns, they will become the rulers over this world, because Babylon, the lawless Babylon, is going to fall. And the return of Christ is going to be an awesome, absolutely unbelievable thing that is going to take place. I'll reserve that for another sermon. So the reason that it is not yet as bad as we have fully described here is because of the remnant of those who love God and keep his commandments. Otherwise, it says, we would have been as Sodom, we would have become like Gomorrah, burned, to a crisp. So here's what God says. Hear the word of the Lord, rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. You better turn to God and turn to his laws and stop all of this nonsense of postmodern thinking where there are no standards, there are no absolutes, there is no truth, and what we think and what we do in our self-centered narcissism is the most important thing in our lives. Well, God is going to strip it all away. He's going to strip it all away. Now let's look at some more things concerning the wicked. Let's come to the book of Psalms, please. Let's come to Psalm 1. We need to do a little contrasting here. Let's do some contrasting between what's taking place in the world and how God looks down on the individual man or woman to bless them if they love him and keep his commandments. Verse 1, Psalm 1, blessed. Now, it may be hated by other people in the world, but you're blessed in God's sight. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't agree with all of these things. Don't go along with them. Nor stand in the way of sinners. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That's the way the world is. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in the law of the Lord? Do you delight in the way of God? Do you delight in his commandments? Do you love them or not? Well, I might suggest that you study all of Psalm 119, every verse very carefully, and you will get a true perspective on the laws, commandments, and statutes and judgments of God. And in his law, he does meditate day and night. Why? Because it's written in his heart and in his mind. And that's the godly character that he or she is developing. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless if it even planted next to a desert. If you're by the streams of water, which then the streams of water are a type of God's Holy Spirit, to lead you, to guide you, to give you strength, to give you understanding, that brings forth its fruit in its season. And we are always to bring forth the spiritual fruit to God of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, as well as our obedience and commandment-keeping to God. And its leaf shall not wither, and all that he does shall prosper. And even God says in times of famine, he'll provide for those who love him. And those days are coming. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff which is the wind drives away, just driven to and fro. Have no moral anchor, have no moral background, believe in nothing. Every little whim of doctrine, every little slight of fashion, every little thought and fad and fantasy that comes along, they just go with it. Isn't there a famous saying today? What does it say? How you get along? Go with the flow. Right? Yes. Now notice, there's no success in that because God says, therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now here's a guarantee, because the word of God is truth. God cannot and will not lie, and though this was written by men, you think God is so impotent and stupid that he can't inspire men to write what he wants them to write? Most people believe that. Oh, well, it was written by a man. Now, why do they say that? To give them an excuse so they can continue in their sins rather than listen to it and repent, right? Yes. For God knows the way of the righteous. He knows where they are, the remnant of God. This is who they are, Psalm 1. But the way of the wicked shall perish. You never have success in sin, period. Whatever temporary profit may come is doomed to desolation. Never happened. Now let's read Psalm 2 and let's look at the world here today. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? Well, we can learn a lot from that too. Just an injection here. I'm going to give a sermon on the coming World Bank again because it's well on its way now. See? And the people plot in vain. Oh, we're going to get ourselves out of this. No, all you're going to do is set yourself up so when Christ returns, you're going to fight him. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his Christ by passing laws of their own devising to outlaw truth and righteousness and get rid of people like this poor little woman here who was only trying to hold to the religious conviction that she had. See? Get rid of Christ. Let us break their bands asunder and cast them away. Cast away their cords from us. Yes. Now, once that they have homosexual marriage, what's to stop the floodgates from opening for every kind of perverse thing? What if people love an animal and want to marry an animal? Well, God has a law against that, doesn't he? See? All right. Then what's to stop them from having multiple wives and let's have polygamy or multiple sex partners? See? First thing to get you away from God is get you involved in illicit sex. First thing. Number one. All right. Let us break their bands asunder. Let's apply this to government and cast away their cords from us. Let's have laws which are not conforming to the Bible. When God is the original lawgiver and author of law who made them, the Ten Commandments of God reflect the character of God. Let's get rid of that. You can't bring a Bible in school. You can't sing a hymn in school. You can't pray in school. You can't do it in public. You can't do it at a football game. They so far haven't outlawed it in Congress, which is very hypocritical of them indeed. Nor have they outlawed it at the Supreme Court. But you wait and see. They're going to do all they can to get rid of it. Now, what does God think of this? He who sits in the heavens laughs. Stupid. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Is that where you are? Are you an atheist or agnostic? Well, God will deal with you one of these days. The Lord scoffs at them because he knows it isn't going to work. God knows right and wrong. And when the world has given itself over to occultism, you need to understand that they have fallen prey to Satan, the devil, and Satan is deceiving the whole world in everything that there is. And only those who know God and are holding fast to the truth and the righteousness of God and the Word of God know or will know what is happening and why it is happening. Because the rest of the world is an absolutely rebellious and in rebellion and rejection of God, as Psalm the second chapter says. Now we'll go ahead and end it here and pick it up in the next sermon.